Hello, and thank you for joining us here today. It's good to be with you, and it's even better to know that when we come together like this, that our Lord is with us, and He desires to speak to us. And so let's go to Him in prayer this morning. Father, thank you for this day that you have given to us, O Lord. Father, your mercies are new every morning. Father, we're thankful as we're here that you have brought us to meet with you, to hear from you. Lord, we ask, O God, that you open our minds and our hearts. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need to know you. Lord, enable us, O God, to encounter you in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm sure every one of us have some need in our lives this morning. Maybe small, it may be large, maybe very simple, it may be complex. It may be logistical, financial, relational, emotional. It may be a problem, it may be a question, it may be a need. And I'm sure we probably have already prayed about it this morning, either in a set time of prayer or maybe simply as we've gone through our preparations this morning. But I wonder, have you been able to pray about it with confidence? You know, you and I need to be able to truly take things into our Father and have the confidence of His hearing and of His working and moving in that situation. As we open God's Word this morning to Psalm 5, think about what we read in verses 1 through 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. I've always loved that third verse. David said, I will pray and I will eagerly watch. I love that, but how can we pray that way? What is it that you and I need to know so that we can pray and then eagerly watch with the assurance, with the confidence that God is going to work, certainly His plan, and yes, in His timing, but have an absolute confidence to know that God is going to work and that we can go through our day and go through our lives watching His hand. Well, as we continue looking at Psalm 5, we move on into verse 4, and think about what we say there. Again, verse 3, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch for, and you think about that. Everything else now in this psalm is going to be based upon what he describes at this point. His ability to pray and eagerly watch is going to be based on these things that we see in the next verses. And it is those things that give us the assurance and the confidence so that we can pray with the anticipation of seeing God work. Well, what are those things? What was it that David remembered as he prayed that enabled him to pray and then eagerly watch? Well, the first thing we see is God's character. That is who God is. His attributes, if you will, His nature. You think about what we see described in verses 4 through 7. Verse 4 again, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, no evil dwells in you. Our God is a God who is righteous. We have a righteous God. And we can rest in the fact that God does what is right because He is right. He can only do that which is right because that is His very nature. Do you remember when Abraham prayed for Lot, and he was praying for Sodom before God judged it, but he was praying because of Lot being there? Do you remember how Abraham approached that prayer time with God? He said, you know, shall not the judge of the earth do what is right? He prayed based upon God's righteousness. And you and I, we can have an absolute confidence that God will work because God, by His nature, is righteous, and hence everything He does, He will do what is right. We can trust Him in every situation. He will do what is right. But not only is He right, but He's also just. Look at verses 5 through 6. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. God's justice will prevail, and He'll operate in a way of justice. You know, as we look at our world and we see such injustice, when we look at even our own nation, what is taking place, and the deliberate attempts to destroy it from within, and we sometimes wonder, is anything going to end this? When will this stop? We can have an absolute confidence that we have a God who is just, and His justice will, in fact, prevail, and we can rest in Him, and we can trust every situation. Even times when we have suffered wrong, even in a situation where it seems like wrongness is being done in our life, if you will, we can trust a God who is just, who will do what is right, and His justice will prevail. But not only is He a God who's righteous and a God who's just, we also have a God who is gracious. You think about what we read in verse 7. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you. Our God is a God of grace. It is in His grace that He sent His Son to be our Savior, to adopt us. And it is through His Son that we can boldly go to the throne of grace to receive the help that we need. You think about what we read over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you think about what David is saying here in just those three verses, or verses 4 through 7 rather. You actually have four verses there. But you think about what David's basing his prayer on. What enables David to pray and with confidence and assurance so that he can actually wait to see what God is doing? It's God's character. And you think he's talked about his righteousness, his justice, his graciousness? How can we not trust such a God? And that's just three of his attributes. That's just three of the descriptions of his perfect character. How can we not trust such a God? If you want to know what makes God trustworthy, it's God himself. If you want to know what should give us confidence and assurance in prayer, it's who God is. It is for this reason, knowing God for who he is, that enabled David to pray and eagerly watch. But not only do we have God's character, we also have God's nearness. You think of what we read in verses 8 through 10. O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. There's nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. By their own devices let them fall, and the multitude of their transgressions thrust them out, for they are rebellious against you. You know, every single one of those verses there requires God being near. We need to remember God is not just in heaven watching over us. Certainly the Father is upon the throne. Our Savior, His Son, is at His right hand, always interceding for us. But through His Spirit, He is always with us. God the Holy Spirit comes to live within us at the time of salvation, and He is always with us. And you think about what David was inspired to write in what is probably our favorite psalm, Psalm 23, where he said, even though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Believer, wherever you are, even in the worst of situations or circumstances, he is with you. David would go on in Psalm 139 to ask, where can I go and get away from you? And then he concluded, there is no such place. Christianity is not about some plan for living. It is not about merely some code that we're to live by. And certainly there are righteous standards that God puts before us, commands. I'm not taking away from that. But Christianity is a relationship where we're brought into an adoption with God through Jesus Christ. Through His Spirit, He comes to live within us, and He is always with us. And He is with us through the ebb and flow of daily life and circumstances. And we can rest on God's perfect nearness. Child of God, understand something. You are never out of God's sight. You are never off His heart, and you are never off His mind. You know, one of the most awful feelings we can ever have is the feeling of being alone. But believer, you are never alone. He's promised in Hebrews 13, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is closer to you than the air that's in your lungs. Jeremiah 23:23 says, am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God who's far off? You think about that in relation to our prayer. God's never out of range. You know, many of us are old enough to remember a time, certainly before cell phones, back when you know, your only phone was there on the wall or the desk or the table beside the couch or whatever, and making a long-distance phone call was a big thing because, it cost. You had to pay for that. God's never a long-distance phone call. God is never long-distance away from us. we have His nearness. Do you remember Elijah and the confrontation on Mount Carmel? Do you remember as he confronted the false prophets of Baal? You remember as the false prophets of Baal cried out to Baal throughout the day, and Elijah asked him, where is Baal? Why can't he answer? We never have that problem with God. He is always near. And so we have God's character. That is who He is. We have His nearness. We also have God's involvement. You think of what we read in verses 11 and 12. But let all who take refuge in You be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. May You shelter them, that those who love Your name may exult in You. For it is You who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. God is personally involved and always working in our lives. Right now, in this moment. You know, we probably have all memorized Romans 8:28, where it says God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God. God is, I know this is not a real word, but you'll understand it. God is the great causer. God is the one who causes all things. He is the one that makes all things work. And He's constantly working in our lives. He's working in yours this very moment. Ephesians 1 says He works all things after the counsel of His will. This wonderful God is near and is in fact working right now. God's not just watching over us. He's not just grading our performance. He is with us and He is working. This great God is working according to His wonderful character in His perfect nearness and working His perfect good. No wonder David could say, in the morning, O Lord, You will hear My voice. In the morning, I will order My prayer to You and eagerly watch. David was so confident in this God that we've just seen and that he described that he could pray and then watch and see whatever God does. Whatever you're facing today, you can pray about it. This wonderful God, who is near and involved, will work. And you can pray and watch to see what He does. Let's go to Him in prayer. Fathers, we're before You. Thank You, O God. Lord, we praise You for who You are. And Father, thank You that You have brought us near to Yourself, and that, O God, You're always near. You're not a God who's far off. Lord, You're not a long-distance phone call away. Father, You're not like a false God who cannot hear. You are near. And Father, You are working, and in fact, You are working all things for our good. O Lord, cause us to remember so that whatever we face this morning, whatever problem or trial or difficulty or decision any one of us is facing this morning, O Lord God, may we be able to pray and eagerly watch to see Your hand at work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope this day you have a great day in the Lord.